our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 120, in the first stanza. Let's sing stanza number 3. Psalter 120, stanza number 3. Light and truth, my way attending, send thou forth to be my guide, till thy holy mount ascending, I within thy house abide. Stanza number 3 of Psalter 120.
Scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the second epistle of Peter and thereof chapter 1. But first we make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath shown me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For we received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal Lord, we gather once again around that holy word of which that we have heard in these moments, a word which is given by thee in the mouth of thy servant so long ago, and maintained by thee even unto this very moment. wherein are found even those most precious promises, whereby that we may escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. O thou knowest the lust that is living in our own hearts, for we are cleavers to all that is evil, all that is sinful, all that is worldly, that is of the earth, earthy, and we have no eyes to behold the spiritual blessings, and no hearts to perceive the treasure that is contained in thy holy word. And therefore we beseech of thee also in this very moment, and when we are gathered together round that word of truth, a word that is despised by us and will be to the end of our life, except that thou dost come from thy side and make it different in our heart and in our life. O Lord, we beseech thee then in these very moments for the presence, for the operation, for the nearness, for the power of thy Holy Spirit, and without which we are not able to preach, and without which we are not able to receive that blessed word into our own hearts. And we must confess that there is no worthiness that is in us that thou shouldest hear us, to grant us that great blessing, because we are ever lovers of that way that our first parents have chosen in departure from thee. Then it is alone by the power of thy Spirit. For thou sayest that we love thee because thou didst first love us. So it is confessed in the life of each and every one of thy own. That it may also be experienced in the life of young and old among us. Lord, we are unworthy, but wilt thou look this even in this afternoon hour upon the merits of thy only begotten Son? For he is worthy that thou wouldst do it, not for our sakes, but that thou wouldst do it for his sake. Hast thou not said that in him thou art well pleased? Hast thou not seen the travail of his soul, and wast thou not satisfied therewith? That it may also be that thou wilt divide him a portion with the great, and that thou would give unto him that blessed inheritance. Show, Lord, that thou still workest to the end of the world, and that thou still dost honor and glorify thy only begotten Son, even in the midst of those who have in themselves no desires after thee. Wilt thou show that thou art more powerful than the prince of darkness, by whose power we are held in that grip of spiritual death? Wilt thou show that thou art stronger than that strong man armed, and that thou art able to cast him out? That in this afternoon hour, that power may be manifested in the hearts of young and old together. It would be a wonder if we may experience it even as one soul. But may it be, O Lord, that thou wouldst not leave a hoof behind in the midst of us, as we each carry a soul within us, and we each travel to that great and never-ending eternity. Eternity, take thou away our carelessness, our walking in the midst of this world on that broad way that leadeth to everlasting destruction, lusting after all that is in this world, coveting everything that is not able to satisfy our poor soul. Bring us then through that straight gate, and give us to walk upon that narrow way that leadeth unto life. that thou may remember those whom thou hast brought thereupon. Oh, that thou may be on their right and on their left hand, for it must go through the depths of the valleys, and it must go over the mountains, and there is no going to the right hand nor unto the left. And they do not know so often that next step that they must take before them. And then in a natural way, in an outward way, there can be so many trials. And there can be so many questions. But then also for their soul, for there can be also so much darkness upon that way. And then they need to be led by thy hand. When they cannot see the way, when they do not know the way, O Lord, we beseech thee that thou may remember them also in this afternoon hour, that thou may lead them into all thy truth. Oh, that they may be given to see something of the blessedness of thee, and that they may receive a little food and drink for their soul in this afternoon hour. Do lead further upon that way. Wilt thou give us what we need also to bring that word and to explain that which is the mysteries of the life in thy people, that thou wouldst lead us therein, give us more knowledge thereof for our own soul, that thou would teach us, O Lord, that we may also teach this our flock, and that thou would lead us, that we may also lead others, and that thou may use us yet as an instrument in thy holy fingers. Do be with all that are not able to gather with us in this day. There, thou knowest their places, all that do listen by church telephone, all that are afflicted, have pain, have sickness, have needs of the mind, of the body, who have become old. Oh, that thou may help in all the circumstances, and wilt thou bless the ways also, that the souls also may be alive and fed. Help us then, O Lord, take reasons out of thyself, forgiving all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 390, stanzas 1 and 2. Lord, hear me in distress. Regard my suppliant cry, and in thy faithfulness and righteousness reply. And what follows in stanzas 1 and 2 of Psalter 390, and the last collection today is for the Trinitarian Bible Society. congregation, the words of our text for this afternoon hour you can find in that portion of God's Word which was read to you, 2 Peter chapter 1, and thereof the 19th verse. 2 Peter 1, verse 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. So far, the words of our text, which speaks about the arising of the day star, which we wish to consider in two thoughts. First, the matter to which this refers, and secondly, the means by which this occurs. Thus, the arising of the day star. First, the matter to which this refers, and second, the means by which this occurs. Our text that speaks about the day star. When do we see the stars? You say we see the stars in the night. And why is it that we do not see them in the day? That is because of the brightness of the sun, not because they do not exist anymore in the daytime. Thus, a day star, what do you think that is then, boys and girls? A day star is just what it says that it is. It is a star that you can see in the daytime. Sometimes that is called a morning star. Sometimes it is called an evening star, because those are the times of the day, the morning or the evening, when these stars are best seen. Actually, these are no stars at all. These day stars, they actually refer to the planets. What is that? What does that word mean, planet? That comes from a word which means wanderer. Those were actually mysteries to the ancients, because they looked just like the stars, and yet they did not act like the stars, and that they did wander in the sky. And so they were called wandering stars, or they were called planets. In our day, we have more than one day star. But in the former times, there was actually just a reference with this word to that day star which was the easiest seen. And which one is that? That is the planet Venus. And thus, Venus, that is the planet that is the closest to us from the of the other planets. Venus, that is one of what they call the inferior planets, that is, along with Mercury, the planets which are closer to the sun than the Earth is. That means that if we will see this planet, then we will have to look in the direction of the sun. And then it must be either in the early morning, or it must be in the early evening. Thus, our text that speaks about a day star, which one then does it speak about? Does it speak about the morning star, or does it speak about the evening star? Well, we read here that it speaks about this day star arising. Thus, It is speaking not about the evening, but about the morning star. And thus, when that morning star that is always seen in the direction of the sun, then when we may observe that morning star, there is one thing that is certain, and that is that the sun is soon to follow. What do you think, children? Would you like to see sometime the morning star? You may see it. Actually, you may see it well every year and a half, and the time that we are living in happens to be a very good time. If you would like to wake up very early in the morning before that the sun comes up, and then you can see in the eastern sky just a little speck. It is about 10 times brighter than the sun. Only we caution you to be careful, because when that sun that begins to come up, then you must be careful that you are not looking directly at the sun, either with your natural eyes or through your telescope. Why? You say, well, then we will damage our eyes. That is right, because that sun that is so very, very bright. Thus, that rising day star, what does that mean? Well, that means that the night that is almost finished. That means that very soon, even though you cannot yet see the sun come up over the horizon, that means that that sun certainly very soon will be there. If you do arise to see the arising of the day star, then to what, to whom must your thoughts go out? Because then that is not just to see the creation of the Lord. But we read about this day star in the Word of God. Not only about the creation, but also concerning the salvation of the church of God. Thus, the observance of the creation, that is not merely that you may glorify your Maker, but that indeed it may be that you may glorify Him as your Redeemer. The Lord Jesus Christ, He has many names in the Bible. One of those names is the Son. Thus He calls Himself by the name of the Son. He is, He says, the Son of Righteousness. That Son we are not able to look at in a direct way. But we know that the rays of the sun, they are guiding us through our whole day. One day the church of God is going to be able to behold Him as the sun. They will be able to behold Him as He is. We know, we heard that Saul, that a great light shone round about him because of the glory of Christ. Then he could not look upon Him. But one day, when this mortal will put on immortality, and then the church of God, they will be able to endure in soul and also in body, to look directly at the brightness of the glory of that Son of God. But they are not yet in glory, and their body that is not yet able to endure such things. And therefore, the Lord, He has also provided for that church while they are yet here upon the earth, a view of him in less than his full glorious majesty, that they may see little glimpses of him. And those little glimpses of him, they are a sure forecast, a sure harbinger that full light is coming. That after that day star is seen, that church may expect that they will one day soon see the full light of that sun. And thus, the Lord Jesus, he calls not himself only by the name of the Son, that he is the Son of Righteousness. But we can read in the book of Revelations that the Lord Jesus, he says, that I have sent mine angel to testify unto the churches. He says, I am the root, I am the offspring of David, and I am the bright and morning star. Thus, there is a difference. There is a difference between the first rays of light and the coming up and the observance of that full sun. What kind of difference is that? That is not a difference in substance, but that is a difference only in degree. Solomon, he says, the path of the just, that is, as the shining light, shining more and more, he says, unto the perfect day. And Peter, he here speaks about the day dawning. He says, until the day dawn. Thus, that is a point of necessary examination for each and every one of us. As we are going through this world, whether there has been ever the dawning of the day, whether that we have ever seen something of that blessed mediator as he reveals himself to be the day star. Because when we have seen him as the day star, then we may be sure one day also that to view him as that Son of Righteousness in his full glory, that is surely to follow. Who is gladdened by the appearing of the day star? Well, that is those who are looking for an end of the night. That is those who are looking for the coming of the day. Do you also look for the end of the night? Mostly we are sleeping in the night, and we are not watching for the beginning of the day. But we can read of David, he speaks about those who are watching, and they are watching, he says, for the morning. What kind of morning? Well, that is not just the morning of the temporal day. That is also not the morning that the Apostle Peter is speaking about here. He is speaking here about the end of the night, that is, the end of the soul's night. So can we prove that? Sure. Because what does he say? He speaks about the day star arising where? Not in the sky, but he speaks about the day star arising in your hearts. Thus, he speaks about a spiritual light. And that light he speaks about that is shining, he says, in a dark place. Thus, that day star arising and the light shining within a heart that experiences that it is very, very dark. Do you experience it to be so also? Very, very dark. The darkness of what? Oh, you say the darkness of sin. The darkness of guilt. The darkness of corruption. The darkness of filth. The darkness of pollution. The darkness of ignorance. How, Job says, I know it is so of a truth, but how should man be just with God? Then to not know that way, to be reconciled unto the Lord. Are there those that do experience something of that darkness? Peter says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. The day star arising in your heart, that is the first glimmerings of light in your soul. That is the first revelation to your soul of that blessed mediator. The Bible says that it is that first light, that it is a measured light. It is a day star that is so, so much smaller, so, so much dimmer than the sun is. And so it is also experienced. Thus, it is a little entrance, a little ray of light that the Lord is shining into some aspect of the mediatorial work of His only begotten Son. If you will ask that church that may know something of what that day star is, then they may say to you, it was actually... Yes, it was so small. I did not even realize in myself what it was. I could not name it. And yet, I experienced something. What is it that is experienced when they may see something, when that night is to come to its end, when the Lord, He will give them to see something of that day star, a little ray of light, then what is their experience? Then there is faith. Then there is hope. Then there is love. Then they experience something of the joy of the salvation of the Lord. Even from that little light, the prophet, he says, that with joy that they shall draw waters out of the well of salvation. And if the Lord may give His servants just by moments to preach something from the housetops and what is taking place in the inner chamber, and then that people will say, that is it. Then I recognize this. Then I am no stranger also of seeing something of that day star. That day star that is a little light. It is perhaps very small, but it is far from insignificant. No, that is something that will be remembered by that people, because by that little light, they see something. They see something that they have never seen before. They see something that makes their soul leap for joy. Oh, then they have a brief look, just a moment's look into the mercy of the Lord. Then there is just a flicker of light, as it were, into the grace of God. Oh, what makes it so dark in the life of that people? What is it that that people, they are not able to see? Well, they do not know how that they can please God. Do you not know how that you can please God? Is there a desire in your heart that you may please the Lord? That is one of the first desires that is coming in that new life. I love the Lord. And out of that love of the Lord, that desire that goes out to Him, and that I may please Him. You read that so often in the Word of God. When the Lord, He is coming. And then what is that which is coming out of the heart of the people? Then they say, oh Lord, what is it that Thou wilt have me to do? That is not a burden for them. No, then there is nothing that they would leave undone. They would like to do everything. The Bible calls that the time of first love. A love that goes out unto the Lord in holy longings, in holy desires, that they may serve Him with all their heart, with all their life, with all their strength. What a careful life. Our fathers, they used the expression that they would not dare to step even over a straw. Blessed life. Oh, that is a close life. That is a tender life. That is a life that has an inner chamber. That is a life that experiences by times a very sweet communion. That is a life when there is little knowledge, but when there is great love. Oh, there are in the hearts of that people precious vows, precious promises from their own side. Oh, they say, Lord, Thy word I have hid in my heart, that I may not transgress against Thee. And all why? Well, that they may please the Lord, that may do what is good and right in His holy sight. Oh, do you know now such a life? Maybe you say, yes, I know such a life. I am not a stranger of such a life. Now you speak about what takes place in my own heart. Then we would like to ask you a second question. A second question. And what is that question? What has become of all that desire? What has become of all those intentions? What has happened to it? You say, why must you ask such a question? Because that question, that is a question that is separating between two kinds of people. That is a question that is separating between the precious and the vile. It is separating between the sheep and the goats. What has now become of all those intentions? And why do we ask this? Because the work of man that begins with a duty religion, but the work of man that also ends in a duty religion. Indeed, there is a confession of that blessed mediator, but indeed it is also a people who really do not know what to do with such a mediator. It is a people who indeed do arise, who do increase with their duties and end in those duties and will be condemned with those duties. We read that in the Word of God. That is the Word of Christ Himself. That when they shall appear before Him to say all that they have done in His name, and He will declare that He has never known them. The work of the Spirit, how is that different? Well, indeed, it is beginning, congregation, with duties. It is beginning with love. It is beginning with obedience. It is beginning with a desire to walk according to that law of God. Where is that from? That is not from man. That is from the Lord, indeed. But it does not end in those duties. No, it is for this people, in a certain sense, a very, very disappointing life. They cannot get at it. They cannot fulfill it. The Spirit's instruction is what kind of instruction? It is an instruction that is instructing about the brokenness in the first place of that first covenant. And that first covenant that is saying, do this and thou shalt live. But it is broken. And this is the experience of that people. Broken. Thus with all the desires, with all the intentions, with all the sincerity of their heart, the guilt that remains, the filth, the pollution that remains, the separation between God and my soul that remains. And then I do not know anymore how that it is possible that I may be reconciled unto God. David, he says, he brought me up also out of an horrible pit and out of the miry clay. What is that? The miry clay. Oh, the miry clay is a place where every effort from the side of that person is only bringing him deeper and deeper and deeper into that quagmire. There is no effort that is able to deliver him. No, all of the righteousnesses of that people, they must become filthy rags. It is often a slow process wherein the Lord is cutting a man off from Adam. But congregation, it is always a painful process that a man has to be cut off from his former root, an old root, wherein he is not able to receive that life anymore for his soul. Then it is dark. It becomes only darker and darker in the life of that people. Why? Because the expectations, they are slowly being cut off one after the other. With all the love of their heart. But they cannot bring it to fruition. And so the darkness that is slowly more and more descending unto that people until in their own soul's experience it is for them and that it is pitch black. They say, I do not know it anymore. How shall I ever be converted unto the Lord? until the day dawn, and the day spring arise in your hearts. What is that? Oh, the day is dawning with what? The day is dawning with a ray of light. The day is dawning with a ray even before that sun is coming up over the horizon. And thus also the soul's day. The soul's day is dawning how? The soul's day is dawning with just a little in shining into their soul. To show them, to reveal to them just a little bit of that new, of that living way. A little in shining, that they may have a little glance for just a moment at that new covenant. Oh, that soul's day that is dawning with a sighting of that mediator. The soul's night that is then fading away when they receive a moment's insight into what? Into what is pleasing to God. Peter, he is speaking about that also here. Why? That there may be a ray of light unto those who have no light. What does he show? What will now be pleasing unto the Lord? Well, we read it. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. We may read of this in the Gospels. And now we may read of this again. The Apostle Peter, he has heard it with his own ears. And he repeats it once again for the sake of whom? He repeats it for the sake of that church. It is that church that is sitting in that darkness and who are looking from the first moments of that new birth, how that they are now able to please the Lord and who are not able to bring forth anything that is pleasing in His sight. And then once again, the Apostle Peter is bringing forth for the sake of that people what is now so well pleasing in the sight of the Father that is declared by Him Himself. No, and He cannot be pleased in the labor of that people. No, because even the best works in the life of that people, they are still polluted and stained with sin. And they cannot come before that holy and that righteous God. Oh, this is what is seen by that people. And when it is becoming for them darker and darker and darker, when they see the stains, when they feel the pollution, and when it becomes more and more impossible in their life, that Peter, he is repeating it for the sake of that people. The word of the Lord, the words of the Father, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Why? That people, that they may have just a little sight, a little insight, a moment's glance upon the blessedness of the mediatorial work of the Son of God. Oh, that they may have a little sight of that cross. That they may have a little sight of that blood. That they may have a little peek, as it were, into the wisdom of the Father. that they may see something of the glorious victory of the Son of God over the sin of His people, and that that hope may be born, and that so they may receive the beginning of that new day in their life. Let us sing of it. Psalter 243, 1, 2, and 5. In vision to His saints, God spake. From out the people one I take, a mighty leader, true and brave, ordained, exalted, strong to save. Ordained, exalted, strong to save. 1, 2, and 5 of Psalter 243. arising of the day star, first, to what this refers. Second, the means by which this occurs. Thus, why does Peter speak about this? Well, he speaks to the congregations in general. Maybe there are some among them that are careless. Are there those also of us that are careless? You say, well, I cannot bring the light. That sun, can I make the sun to rise? Can I make that day star to rise? That is a divine work. That is a powerful work. That is something that does not depend on me. I just must wait for that. And now, what answer must we give to this? Congregation, we were not created in darkness of soul. That darkness is a judgment. It is a judgment upon our own sin. And there is an even greater judgment. And what is that? It is that we love the darkness. You say, that is an accusation. I do not love the darkness. But it is not my accusation. That is the accusation of Him who knows the hearts of all men. What does He say? He says, this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. We are lovers of the darkness. And now Peter, this is his last epistle. Peter feels that his time that is short. He says, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. We may see it as the last words, as it were, of the apostles. If your mother, boys and girls, or your father was going to die, and then they will speak to you yet one more word, then I think you will listen. Because it is not just going to be about anything in this world, but it is going to be about something that is very, very important, that is very, very weighty. And then what does Peter say here? He says, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. He says, when we spoke to you about the coming and the power of Christ, He says, they are not fables. Fable. Congregation, let us consider within ourselves, what is it? The name of Christ to us. What is it by nature? Is it not actually just a fable? Just as a story? It means so little. No. It means nothing to us at all. And the Apostle Peter, he says, no, people. He says, we have not followed cunningly devised fables. But this is true. And he says that he himself and the other apostles, they were eyewitnesses of His majesty. He appeared to them in a mount of transfiguration. They have seen His majesty. They have seen His glory. They have heard the words of the Father. Oh, you say, see? Others. That was then. Then there was truth. Then there was power. We can read it in the days of the Bible. We can read it in the days when the apostles, they were upon the earth. We can read it perhaps even in the days of our forefathers. But now that light is gone. We never hear about it anymore. We never see it anymore. That light that is put out, that is something from the times of old. Thus, there is not only carelessness among the people, but there are also those that are discouraged. And how does Peter answer all of this? He says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed. Thus, it is an admonishment. It is an admonishment both against the carelessness, but also against the discouragement. Then he is testifying of the efficacy of the power of the Word of God. And he is speaking further of that Word. And that it is an inspired Word. That it is a Word that came not, was not spoken by men, but it was spoken by the Lord Himself. Oh, how guilty are we? How guilty are we that we are not more busy with this Word of God? Congregation, we complain, you and I, we complain. We say there are none converted in our days. We say the work of the Lord that is so very little. And not only so, but the leading of the Lord in the life of His people. Well, that is so in the background. It seems that they are not led as deep and as in the way that it was years ago. And we do not see it, we do not hear it. But congregation, is it not because the means, they are so neglected by us? And that we have to place ourselves in the first place in the guilt. Oh, Satan, he is also so very busy with this. There was a time that the people, they were illiterate. They could not read. Oh, children, is that not a blessed thing that you may have our own school? And that you may learn to read? And why? Is that now, in the first place, we know it is so important that you may read, that you may be able to go through this life, but is there not a higher reason? Is there not a word of God that has been given by the Lord? Is that not in the first place that you may read that word? Oh, there was a time, wherein Satan was burning those Bibles. And when they were being translated into the languages that the people, they could read it. And Satan, he would not have them to read it. And now, all those Bibles, they are not being burned anymore. But Satan, he is busy now in another way. And what is he doing? Well, he is corrupting that Word of God. And so you have this version supposedly and that version supposedly, but they are not the Word of God. But it is deceit and making the people to believe that it is the Word of God. And not only so, but so many other things to replace that Word. Oh, we think, young people, of the fiction books. Oh, we would say, throw them all away. Oh, what good can they do for your poor soul? What light are they able to give unto your soul? Our time that is so, so very short. Oh, would you have light? Do you think that you can find it, that light in those novels that you are reading? Or can you find that light from the internet? Do you think so? Can you find it on all of your devices? Or what do we read here? That is the eternal Word of God. It is true forever and forever. And it is speaking about that light. And about where that we are able to find that light. We have a more sure word of prophecy. And then an admonishment. Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. Is your soul dark? Are there those? You say it is so dark. Is it dark because of sin? Is it dark because of guilt? Is it dark because of filth, of corruption, of cleaving unto this world? Because of separation between God and your soul? Or a more sure word of prophecy, take it up. Oh, take it up, because Peter, he says, it is as a light that shineth in a dark place. What is it speaking about? Oh, it is speaking about the day star. Yea, more, it is speaking about the sun itself of righteousness. It is from the beginning to the end. It begins already in Genesis with the need for him. Speaking already in the beginning of the promise of him. And then all throughout the prophecies of him, the fulfillment of those promises, of those prophecies. His coming into this world, his satisfaction of the Father. It is speaking about the work of the Spirit of the Lord to conquer the heart of a man and to make him, to bring him into that blessed communion with the Lord. Do you need light? Oh, Peter says then where to find it. Bunyan, he showed it in his book to that man. He says he could not see the gate. He says, do you see yonder shining light? I think I do. He says, then keep your eye directly on it. Go directly to it. And so shalt thou see the gate. What is he speaking about? He is speaking about that word. Where does it come from? It comes from the words of our text. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. And how long then must you stay in that word? What does Peter say? Stay in there for one day? Stay in there for 1 week? For 1 year? For 5 years? 10 years? 20 years? No, he says, until... Stay in there. Take heed to that word until the day dawn. Until the day star that will arise in your heart. Oh, until you get one little glimpse into the blessed, glorious gospel of the Lord. Until you get a little sight, the smallest sight, into the power of that blood of Christ that may cleanse you from all of your sin, until the Lord may open your eyes that you may lay them just once upon that blessed sacrifice. Oh, until the day dawn, until the day star arise in your heart, and until you may feel something in your own soul of that blessed favor of the Lord. He says, do not stop. Do not stop reading. Do not stop searching. Do not stop hearing of that word of God. One ray of that light as that day star that will chase away all your darkness,
There is more light that you can receive in this world. Oh, there is so much light. There is so much light there concerning that blessed Son of God, that blessed Mediator. There is light there. It is speaking about His offices. It is speaking about His states. It is speaking about His natures and what He has come into this world to do. There is light there. Oh, there is light into the decree of the Father. There is light into the foundation of the salvation of the Lord. There is light into His good pleasure. There is light into the satisfaction of the Father with the blessed work of His only dear Son. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. There is light, congregation, and that is to be found where? In that word, light into the working of the Holy Spirit, that we may not be deceived upon our journey as we are traveling unto our long home, and that we are not placed in the end with the goats, but that we may be placed on the right hand with the sheep, and that we do not deceive our soul for that great and never-ending eternity. Light. Light, children. That is light that is also able to enter into your young heart. No, then we do not need to be old for this. We do not need to have an education for this. But the Lord, He says, boys and girls, to take up your Bible. The Lord says to stay now in that Bible and not to neglect that Bible. Oh, how is it possible that we do so? Fathers and mothers, is there not more light there that can come from all the natural sun? Or would we not rather have all the natural light to cease in this world than to miss that light for our soul as we are going on to that great eternity? And He says, where now to find it? We have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and until that day star arise in your heart. Oh, are there those who are not strangers of that day star? Have you seen Him? You say it was so small. It was just a moment. It was just a little bit. And I saw just a little part of His mercy, a little part of His grace, a little part of His wisdom. Oh, it made my heart to rejoice. The day is coming for those who are not strangers of the day star. Oh, that day is coming. That is not our word. That is the word of the Lord. When He says, I am the bright and the morning star, then it is a consolation unto that people that He is coming again, and they shall see Him. Those that look for Him, He says, He is coming the second time unto salvation. Oh, then comfort one another with these words. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, it is so rich, it is so full, it is so free. Wilt Thou look upon us? We are so blind. We are so dead. We love our darkness. We do not search Thy word. O change us. Convert us. O Lord, draw us. And wilt Thou bring us out of nature's darkness into Thy marvelous light? What shall it be to go lost, we and our children, on that great day when we have had that light shining among us, and when we have not sought that light? O Lord, we beseech Thee, to whom else can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Bless Thy word. Draw us, Lord. We will run after Thee. Bring us safely to our places. Forgive our sins. Receive our humble thanks for Thy help in this hour. Bless and sanctify the words of this day. also of this morning hour. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 363, 2 through 5. Lord, if thou shouldst mark transgressions, in thy presence who shall stand? But with thee there is forgiveness, that thy name may fear command. 2 through 5 of Psalter 363.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.